I'm going to start recording now, and then I'm going to mute everyone and make sure that you're unmuted, Pat, and then you can get started.
Okay. Ready? Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Pat Hansen. I'm the Director of Payroll here at NDSU. My co-presenter today is Jennifer Quinnett, Associate Director of the Safety Office. And we're here today to present information on the telecommuting and the remote work site. This has become a very popular topic with COVID and everything else happening on our campus. So we're happy to present this information today. I'll start out with just talking about where it all began. NDSU Policy 144.1 talks about temporary change of work location. And what this simply states is that employees may be required to change their work location out of state for extended periods of time for various reasons. In this case, extended period means for longer than 30 consecutive calendar days. Because of this, we ask employees to ensure that they're insured by proper workers' compensation coverage, liability coverage, and administrative approvals. We ask that employees submit a summary of the proposed work, the location, term, and the personnel involved to their supervisor and possibly other administrative approvals for that remote work site request. A temporary change of work location, however, does not include the developmental leave policy, which is included under Policy 132, or the leave without pay policy, which is Policy 149. It also does not include any short-term change of work locations less than this 30 calendar days. Because of that request of Policy 144.1, we've recreated a remote work site agreement in DocuSign to assist employees in providing this information. So what happens, or according to that policy, a remote work site agreement is required if working more than 30 consecutive days from a remote location outside the state of North Dakota. In addition to that, we recommend that a remote work site agreement be created if your primary place of employment will be a remote work site for an extended period of time within the state of North Dakota. The reason that we do that recommendation is that sometimes that agreement has a lot of great information where you and your supervisor can actually agree upon what your work schedule is, what that work will entail, how often you will be, how long you'll be working remotely, and a lot of other details that you may not otherwise discuss with your supervisor. Some of the definitions as part of that policy, this involves all employees. Quite often we're asked, does this include student employees? It includes anybody that receives a paycheck from North Dakota State University. It includes faculty, staff, graduate assistants, and student employees. The remote work site is a place of employment not located on NDSU owned or leased property, where an employee works on a regular basis for an extended period of time. So the Ag Experiment Stations, that's NDSU property. So any of those remote workplaces that are owned or leased by NDSU, you do not have to complete the remote work site agreement. Extended period means for longer than 30 consecutive days. It does not apply to the occasional work from non-NDSU property or those outstation permanent work sites designated by NDSU. The place of employment is the actual physical location where an employee actually performs the work. Employee income will be reported to the appropriate state as required by applicable regulations if you're working out of state. Some things to consider before completing the remote work site or working remotely. If you are the employee that is thinking about working remotely, we really suggest that you talk to your supervisor before starting to fill out the remote work site agreement. Quite often we have agreements that come through where the supervisor said they weren't even asked about it. They, you know, that they had some concerns about it and they wondered what they should do now. We suggest that they go back and talk to the employee. But you resolve a lot of that if you're the employee and you go and you talk to your supervisor first and say, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Some of the things that both of you, you and your supervisor need to think about is what are the operational needs of the department? What are the staffing that's required to be able for your department to do its job? Some of the space considerations. What's very important these days are health and safety issues for your staff. And most of all, what type of position is being requested to work remotely? Positions that require a physical presence or a constant interaction with clients and coworkers to perform their job are not suitable for remote work site. So not everyone that thinks that they want to work remotely or feels that they can work remotely will be approved to work remotely depending on the needs of the department. An employee working remotely, of course, should not negatively impact their coworkers. So it shouldn't shift their work burden to those for their coworkers or create delays for our customers. And it, most of all, it shouldn't create additional steps in the workflow because this employee is working remotely. And part of the agreement helps you define what those tasks will be that will be performed remotely. And it helps you understand what the outcomes of that working arrangement will be. So that's part of what helps with this agreement by doing this agreement. Everyone understands what is expected and how long the agreement will last. The employee shall be willing to travel when his or her work requires. So this means even if you've come up with a work arrangement, if something changes and your department needs you in the office or needs you somewhere else and everything, you should be available to do that travel to come back to the NDSU worksite when necessary, regardless of what the remote worksite schedule says. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Jen, and she's going to talk about some of the compliance requirements.
Thank you, Pat. So just jumping in, when we're talking about a remote worksite arrangement, we're also stating that we're not changing the conditions of employment. We're still following all NDSU policies, procedures, rules, and practices, so nothing has changed there. Employee income will be reported to the appropriate state as required by applicable regulations. And due to complex state employment and tax laws, it should be noted that in the future, remote worksite agreements will not be approved to work in the states of California, Ohio, and New York. A new remote worksite agreement must be submitted for approval prior to changing the address of any remote worksite. So let's say you're working in the state of Colorado. Maybe you are moving to another address within that state, or maybe to a different state altogether, you would need to resubmit the remote worksite agreement so that we can make sure we're tracking you and we have you scheduled appropriately with workers' comp and with NDSU as well. North Dakota State University may at any time change any or all of the conditions under which the employee is permitted to work, or may withdraw permission to work off-site. This position arrangement will be reevaluated on an annual basis. So you do need to make sure that you are going in and submitting this on an annual basis. It also can be discontinued at will at any time at the request of either the employee or NDSU. So as many individuals are aware, this process has been in place for employees that are working out of state or off campus in their remote workplace. But both Pat and I, during discussion when we talked about this process, we do also want to make sure that individuals are understanding that this also relates to our out of country travel. So if you are working out of country for greater than 30 days, this process also needs to be taken care of. So these requests must be approved in advance. They also have to be justified with an essential business need. Requests for employees who are not US citizens to work in their home country will not be approved. And also for those employees that are working outside of the country, you are going to want to coordinate with the safety office for workers' compensation purposes. So you're going to want to give me a call or call anybody, I guess it's in the safety office, and they'd be able to direct you to me. But this needs to be done early on in the process so that we can walk you through how to go about securing workers' comp in that country where you will be residing and working for that period of time. Now, this platform of utilizing a remote work site agreement accomplishes several functions. And one of those is meeting that workers' compensation function. So when we're working out of the state of North Dakota, let's say in the state of Minnesota for greater than 30 days, we need to be making sure that these agreements are in place because we need to secure insurance for you in that state. So it's imperative that when you pull up this agreement and you start working on it and putting your information in there, that you're not leaving anything blank or putting NA or not applicable. We need this information. I have had questions in the past, you know, why do you need my gross annual wage? Again, that's to make sure that we get you coverage. There are also some kind of weird questions in there as far as what type of building you might be working in and how many stories or floors are in the building. Again, this is for insurance purposes, so bear with us and please answer all of the questions. One of the questions that is going to be on that form that you may see is, are you working consistently, continually within that state for greater than 30 days? Or are you coming back onto campus or back into the state of North Dakota for a period of time? And that is a question so that we know whether we need to schedule you insurance within that other state. So again, make sure you're answering all of the questions. And as a good safety employee, I guess we have to bring up all the safety requirements as well. So you'll notice some check marks, some check boxes within that form that are asking you some questions about the workplace that you are going to be working in. And these are all safety requirements about your workspace. It could be anything from electrical safety to fire safety, and then moving into your ergonomics. How is your workspace set up? Whether that's your task chair or your desk, or in some cases a table. We want to make sure that we are reminding ourselves of good work practices. And some of that is part of our workspace and our ergonomic situation. So I'm not asking these questions to be nosy. I'm just asking these questions to make sure that we're reminding ourselves what our workspace looks like, and that we are making sure it's as safe as possible for us. And that if there are any ergonomic concerns and you're looking at these check boxes, you are able to see, you know, maybe I need to make some changes or contact the safety office to assist me in maybe picking out a different table, desk, or chair to make it fit me while I'm working in a remote work site. So our goal here is also to reduce workplace injuries, and that could be anything from tripping over a computer cord to having low back pain due to an improper chair. So that's why you'll see those check boxes there, and that we ask that instead of going through and just checking yes, because you don't want us to get you on anything. We're just saying answer it truthfully, and then just know that if you have some no's in there, you may want to contact the safety office for some recommendations, or maybe it's a chance for you to just look at your workspace and move things around a little bit to make it as safe as possible. So with that, I believe that concludes the presentation that both Pat and I have put together. So we will open it up to any questions that have come up.
I had a couple of questions in the chat so far. So they're wondering, would this include an adjunct faculty member who's teaching an online course that would have to do this agreement?
Yes, it would.
And then just confirming the remote site agreements are good for 1 year.
They're good for up to 1 year. After 1 year, they'll have to complete a renewal form. The renewal is a lot shorter. It's a different form that is out there.
There was another question about, so this agreement is not for parents with school-aged children who are now learning remotely, and they're wondering if they can be approved to work from home just a couple days a week throughout the semester while their children are home, and is that something they just work out with their supervisor without this agreement in place?
This is probably one of those situations that we recommend the remote worksite agreement, just because there's a lot of things in that agreement that the supervisor and the employee need to talk about in doing this. We want to make sure that they have childcare, that you know that this isn't for childcare purposes or anything. So we do recommend it, but it's not required unless they're working out of state.
And then another follow-up, 30 consecutive days is the indicator on whether or not payroll or insurance needs to be adjusted. If it's just for a few days in a 30-day period, there's no need to submit the form?
That is correct.
Carrie-Anne just asked, we've had questions about what qualifies as returning to campus within that 30-day period. Do you need to be engaging in official operations on campus, or do you just need to log into your computer?
When we're looking at that 30 days, you know, yes, you should be on campus engaging in your official operations. It's not just coming in, checking in for 5 minutes and leaving. It's, you know, 1 to 2 days of, you know, significant work that would be counted as coming in onto campus and not considering that we would need to go ahead and schedule you for workers' compensation purposes.
Yet another question, how many NDSU employees do you suppose will need to avail themselves of this work off-site provision?
We have been very, very busy since school was announced that we're going back into session. A lot of adjunct professors are working off campus. Prior to COVID, we probably had about 55 employees working remotely. We're probably now maybe approaching, what would you say, Jen?
Quite a few.
150 maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, so far. And they're still coming in.
To mute myself. Where do we find the worksite agreement, and can you post a link in the chat or follow up with an email?
I can actually hit on that because I think I missed that in my notes. As Pat had stated earlier, this is something that you first step is going to be discussing with your supervisor. I think it goes without saying you need to make sure that you're coordinating what that will look like and how you're going to coordinate with that within your office and your department. You can find that agreement, that form, on the forms page under human resources and payroll, okay? And it's actually on the DocuSign platform, so it's all submitted online, which makes it quite easy. When you go in, you're going to go ahead and enter in your name and the email of your supervisor, the department chair, the dean if it's academic. And then this agreement form is routed for approval. It goes through your chair, dean, director. It goes through HR payroll. It also goes through the safety office. And then there's an approval by your vice president or provost. So if it's approved, then that worksite agreement goes into the employee's official personnel file. And then a copy is also sent to university police and safety. And again, that's for purposes where we can monitor if we need to get you covered under workers' comp within a different state. The employee will be notified if it's not approved, so keep that in mind. And then any long-term arrangements, again, like we had stated, need to be renewed on an annual basis. And again, that form is also on the forms page under HR, and it's a lot shorter. It's a quick renewal form. Because we would have most of your information already. We would just need to know that you're re-upping for another few months or a year or whatever.
Got another question. Does an in-state faculty member teaching synchronously from a remote location have to file the remote worksite agreement?
So synchronously means that they are on campus or are not?
It means they're holding their class at the time that it's scheduled and it's live with their students, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're on campus.
This is a situation where we'd recommend the remote worksite agreement, but it's not required.
A follow-up question about the about Kaylin's question before about being home with your kids. And I think that there's a new session being announced for tomorrow about some of the time with kids in the K-12 situation. So I don't know if this is something you have an answer for today, but wasn't sure what you meant by making sure you have childcare in the response to Kaylin's question. Did you mean you're verifying that folks were home in order to engage in childcare, or do you have to demonstrate you have childcare during the workday?
When I said that, I just meant that if you're requesting the remote work site to be at home with your children, then it's actually a leave situation. It's not actually working remotely. So you want to make sure that it's actually a request to work remotely rather than to a leave request. Does that answer your question?
Can I unmute myself to follow up with it? Because I am a little bit confused regarding the child taking care of children component. And I am in that situation of having two kids at home who will be doing the virtual academy. Your recommendation would be for me to request to go on leave in the fall semester in order to do that, or to do the remote work agreement?
It really depends on if your children are able to take care of themselves or if you're actually requesting the remote work site to take care of your children. So I think it's on a case-by-case basis. It depends on what actually, if you're able to do your work and you can do it as well as you can on campus and everything, there isn't an issue. However, if you need to be there to, in some cases and everything, you're actually trying to teach your children from where you're at, then maybe more it's a leave issue rather than a remote work site request.
Thank you for clarifying.
Can you confirm if faculty on developmental leave need to fill out the request?
This remote work site request does not include somebody on developmental leave. That's covered under a separate policy.
For grad students who are working remote for the semester who are also teaching a course, do they need to fill out a remote work site agreement?
Yes, they do, if they're working out of state.
Looking at the form itself with DocuSign, is there a way to see the form so you can chat about it with your supervisor before you start the process in DocuSign?
I will get back to you. There is a way to see it, but I'm not sure what that link is for employees, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
There's a question about how this all will apply to extension staff, if you could talk about the agreement for extension staff. I don't know any more details about that question other than, so I don't know if that person can unmute if that was Kayla.
They could elaborate a little bit more on that one. That might be helpful.
Okay. We can come back to that one. For workers' comp and workplace safety, should all faculty teaching remote, whether in-state or not, part-time or fill out the remote worksite agreement?
So if they're working out of state for greater than 30 days, it is required. It's required because we're going to have to get them placed in that state with workers' comp. And if they're working in state, it is recommended that they complete it. Okay. Yes, I think it's a great idea. It would be a smart move on their part just to make sure that they have everything in place since they are working, you know, in state, but off campus.
We have another question. For faculty who opt to perform their responsibilities, teaching, research, or service from a remote location, what does HR require us to do? There may be some issues related to academic freedom where faculty are concerned.
I'm not sure what HR requires you to do. What does HR require us to do? Other than complete the form and respond to the questions, maybe if I can get a little clarification on what that question means and the academic freedom part.
Sorry, that was my question. I can clarify. So I'm in state, but you know, so the out-of-state issues don't pertain to my situation. And I don't know how many faculty those out-of-state, you know, problems would apply to. But just for someone who lives in North Dakota, who's a faculty member on NDSU campus, I've never before had any problems with performing my duties in my office or out of my office. And now it seems that this issue has become, you know, something that I need to pay attention to. I'm just curious. I mean, what do I need to do, you know, as a faculty member who doesn't spend every day in my office, who does much of my work, you know, from home or elsewhere? How is this going to impact me and others like me?
Is your primary work location, though, your office here on campus? Is that what you would consider?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm wondering what you consider primary work location, right? Because yes, I would consider it my primary location, mm-hmm. but it seems to me where I'm running up against, other definitions of what primary work location is.
A primary work location is where you do the majority of your work. So if you're doing the majority of your work from your office, that would be your primary work location. So there would be no remote worksite agreement required.
But does that mean more than 50%? I guess this is the devil's in the details here.
Yeah, more than 50% is what I would say. Yes. So, and especially if you're in
unless state, I'm on developmental leave, in which case those aren't issues, right?
They aren't issues because when you're on developmental leave, you're not actually being paid to perform work for the institution. So that's why the developmental leave policy takes over in that case.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. And another question, if we need to quarantine at home, is there a process for this separate from that form?
The quarantine process falls under a leave request. It might fall under a leave request, and that would be going through the FFCRA program, which is under the CARES Act. Unless, of course, they're required to quarantine for a certain period of time at home and they can still perform duties and work, then of course it falls under that 30-day window. I believe the quarantine that I've seen is no more than 14 days.
There was a question about the remote worksite request on the forms page, but not seeing the renewal, and just wondering if that's named something different.
The renewal form is coming out there. The renewal form was a form that I was supposed to send out from my office. And because of the number of remote worksite requests and everything, I'm asking our IT to make it as a power form that we can put it out on the forms page. It's just not out there yet. It will be.
So question, if you have approval from your supervisor to work a hybrid schedule, so 2 to 3 days at home and 2 to 3 days on campus, you do not need to fill out this agreement. They just want to clarify, this seems to be a different message than the previous return to work meeting in July.
I would say they would not, right, Pat? They would not need to complete it if they're coming back on campus.
Correct.
This would be a continuous span of time. If it's a continuous span of time of greater than 30 days, then this process would need to be, this form would need to be submitted.
And again, this is another situation where we'd recommend it just to have the process and the agreement outlined, but it's not required.
We've got all of the questions that I've seen so far, unless I've missed any, if anyone wants to either unmute or type their question in the chat.
Christy, is there a way to stop the sharing? Is my screen still being shared?
Your screen is not shared.
Oh, okay.
There was a question on 30 days. Is it 30 work days or 30 calendar days?
30 calendar days, so 30 continuous days. So that includes weekends, holidays. It's 30 continuous days. That's how it's counted.
Question for possibly for John, how do you deal with equality concerns for supervisors or staff? Perhaps the position description states they're responsible for answering phones and greeting students in the office. This would make a remote agreement unrealistic. Can supervisors make provisions for an employee?
So, I mean, there's when you look at this, you're always looking at, is the request reasonable that the employee's asking? I guess I would need to know more on exactly, you know, what they mean. I mean, if you have a job description and part of that is to answer the phones and it's not reasonable to have that done from afar, it's something that, so it sounds like they want to possibly work remotely, we'd have to, you know, go through a process of why that is. And so I'm not sure how to answer the question based on the information I have. If you want to contact me separately outside of this, you can definitely do that.
There's a question on, do we have a time frame when the remote work renewal form will be posted and available?
I would hope within the week. I will double check on it.
All right, there's another question. What date is the remote worksite form effective? Is it beginning August 1 or September 1?
That depends on when they're actually starting their remote work. If they've already been doing it and they want to create the remote worksite or fill out a completed remote work site, it's probably whenever they actually fill out the form.
For a period of time, Workforce Safety and Insurance was covering these employees, covering all of us who were working from home. I believe it started back in March. So they covered it. And then it came to a point where, you know, we were still living in this period of remote work. And so they had to stop covering those employees that were working remotely if they were out of state. So the date that we had been using was July 1. So if you are a remote worker that has been working since March from home, okay, and you're still working from home, I would recommend they use the July 1 date. But if you have come back to campus and now you're considering starting with that remote work, use the date that you're going to start. I hope that helps answer that question.
If someone who lives outside of North Dakota has permission to work a hybrid schedule, do they need to fill out the remote work form for insurance purposes?
So if you live outside of North Dakota, you're working a hybrid schedule. Are you coming onto campus at all?
Allie, if you could unmute or put in the chat.
Yes, it would be someone, say, working 2 to 3 days a week on campus and 2 to 3 days off campus. Because we do have a number of people who, you know, live in Morehead, for example.
Okay, so in that example, Hallie, you would not need to complete the form for insurance purposes. If you were living, working in Moorhead, Minnesota for greater than 30 days, then yes, you would need to do it.
Okay, thanks.
There was a question around who would be best to reach out to email about a more detailed question related to this to not discuss in the full group. Would it be Pat or Jen?
Either one of us, yes. we can help. And I think on the final slide had our email addresses, but.
With that one, someone went out to. Any other questions?
Could you repeat the list of states that approvals will not be made for? I'm trying to take notes and I don't think I got all of them. California was one of them.
California, Ohio, and New York. Just because of their complex employment tax laws, we just do not have the staffing to accommodate those requests at this time.
Thanks, I just wanted to make sure I had the list correct.
Any other questions? Great, and there was a request to send out the slide so we can, if you can send that to me, Pat, I can send that to Laura when we send out the link today.
Okay, sure.
I don't see any other questions, so we can wrap up. If you guys have anything else you want to add?
I thank everybody for attending.
Thank you.